Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 is the verse that we're going to look at here tonight. There is a handout available if you need one. There should be some more over there. I have one extra here if you need it. Sometimes as a preacher, a verse comes up in topic of conversation, and it sticks with you, and you chew on it and begin to jot some things down, and it turns into a sermon. And that's kind of what's happened here tonight. Not maybe the most exegetical masterpiece ever written as far as the sermon is concerned, but just some thoughts here out of the book of Proverbs concerning a very important verse. I think it really reveals some things. And don't you love the book of Proverbs? Just such wisdom. I'm so thankful that God let us peek into Solomon's wisdom as he's imparting that to his son and others as well. I'm just very thankful for God's wisdom in including this in the Word of God. But Proverbs 20, verse 29 says this: "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. So tonight I want to preach a message entitled "Young Guns and Gray Hairs: A Biblical Perspective on Generational Cooperation." A biblical perspective on generational cooperation. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we're thankful for the time we've had here tonight, and even just in singing your praises. Lord, what a day it will be when we get to stand before you and see you. Lord, we're just so thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful for this group of believers and their passion for singing, their passion for the Word of God. And Lord, I'm thankful that as we look out over our very small congregation here tonight, that we see, Lord, men with gray hair, and we see young men. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, help us to learn from your Word tonight and make application. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does God have a different purpose for a young man than he does for an old man? No, he doesn't. The young man and the elderly man both have been created to serve God. Both have been created to glorify God with their days and expend themselves for God's purposes. And so the young men, which from now on out are called young guns, and rather than saying old men, we're going to say gray hairs, so as to be easy here tonight. No, I'm just teasing. But the young men and the gray hairs should not be in competition with one another, but should be working together in cooperation for the same purpose of glorifying God and serving Him and doing His work. Yet, so often, in society we see it, but we also see it in the church, we see a generational split, a separation, if you will, from those, the younger and those that are older, and the young men, in their arrogance, look over at the old men and say, "Look at those has-beens." And while the old men, in their ignorance and in their arrogance, rather is the word I was looking for, they look and they see the young men and they think those men are unprofitable. But that's not how God designed it, is it? And on a micro level, on a small level, it might look something like this, where you have a young man or young men that tend to make fun of that older generation and maybe don't want to have anything to do with them and because of the age and different things. And then you have the younger men who look that way. But then on the other side, you have the older men who look down and see the inexperience, the immaturity, and they look at them and say, "They're not worth developing. They're not worth the investment. Give me the hammer. I'll just do it myself." And that's not really how God designed it. And that might take place on a micro level, but on a macro level, we see it in the workplace. But maybe tonight, because we're in church, we'll talk about in church. Well, when that takes place in a church, you Sometimes you see an aging congregation that's not reaching into the young men, the younger generation, and is not developing them. And then you have the young people leaving that generation, and there's a generational divide, and going over here to the smoke and mirrors and rock and roll light show church because they keep up with the times. And it shouldn't be such a divide, should it? It shouldn't be that way. And now granted, these two examples, I believe, is very much an oversimplification of that problem. I will admit that. But I believe the idea or the concept that Solomon is explaining here in Proverbs 20, verse 29, is a huge factor in this generational divide that we see. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. What does it mean, the glory of young men is their strength? It means that their strength, their physical strength and vigor and ability to accomplish and do things, that's their glory. That is what distinguished them. That is their distinguished honor or ornament, which makes them special. It's their strength, makes them renowned. And on the flip side, the beauty of old men, that which is their distinguishing feature, is not talking about that beautiful touch of gray that is advertised on TV. He's talking about the wisdom that's associated and experience associated with living long enough to have gray hair. Or no hair, that's right. I ought to be clear. There are a few that we have to include that caveat in here tonight. But let me ask you this question. Do we need, at Foundation Baptist Church, do we need strong but inexperienced young men? Or do we need those with a wealth of experience, but maybe who move just a little bit slower than they used to? And the answer is, we need both. We need both. And when you have an imbalance in the church, it creates problems. Now tonight, I realize that I want to just be clear. As the scripture here is in the context of Solomon, a father, teaching his son, I'm going to primarily speak to the relationship between men tonight. I believe that's the context. The relationship between older men and younger men. However, I do believe much of the principles we're going to cover would be true for both men and ladies as well. But the Proverbs here were written to instruct the young man. And we're going to, I believe, spend primarily our time tonight looking at the young man's responsibility, but we're also going to look at the young guns, yes, but also to the gray hairs here in a moment. So let's get into it. Number one, to the young guns, Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. What is this strength used for if the young man's purpose is to serve God and to glorify God? This strength that God has uniquely endowed the young man with is for the embracing of hard work. Embracing hard work. Lamentations 3:27 says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for a young man to work hard. It's good for a young man to work hard. I want you to understand something. Work is not punishment. Before the fall took place, God had given Adam work to do. Work is very much a thing that brings fulfillment in life. Work is something that brings achievement and accomplishment. God has designed man to achieve, to accomplish, to have that inward drivenness. And a young man ought to embrace that in his youth when he has the strength of youth to embrace hard work. A young man, are you listening? Need to learn to love labor. Learn to love labor. You say, well, work is hard, sure, but many things that are hard are fun. Many things that are hard promote that sense of achievement. If it was easy and you sat down and looked at what God had allowed you to accomplish, there would be no sense of achievement there. You need to learn to love labor. I want to notice a few times in Scripture where the Scripture reveals a young man's the importance of a young man being willing to jump in and to do hard work. In Genesis 18:7, it says, "And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a what kind of man? A young man. And he hasted to dress it." Now, if you've ever cleaned a deer or you've ever dressed a large animal, young man, that's hard work. That's hard work. That would have been a very heavy animal. He gave it to the young man, and he didn't just begin and shuffle his feet and say, "All right, I go." What did he do? He hastened to dress it. He jumped in with initiative and did it. Genesis 22:3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. This would be going to sacrifice Isaac there, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. It wasn't Abraham, it was the young men that did the hard work, sweaty work of chopping the wood. You say, "Well, this is just real deep." No, young men need to work. You say, "Well, this is so obvious." Look at society. It's not as obvious as you think. Young men need to learn to love labor. Young men, number two, need to man up for the mundane. Need to man up for the mundane. In the same passage, as we continue on into verses 4 and 5, they've just chopped all of the wood. And look what Abraham says. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." What did he say? Stay here and watch the stuff. Oh boy, that's fun. No, it's mundane. But that's what the responsibility they had been given to do. Think of David and his time watching the sheep. No doubt he got bored a little bit. No doubt it was mundane. It was hard, yes, but there was some repetition. That is the work and the job of a young man. That's right. That wasn't too boring, was it? No, not at all. Yeah, that's right. Need to learn to love labor. You man up for the mundane. Number three, a young man needs to be apt for action. Young men, when you see work to be done, don't wait for someone to tell you to do it. Notice here in Acts 5, this is an interesting text to bring this out, but bear with me here. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Okay, we know the story. They have lied to Peter. They've lied to the Holy Ghost. They said, "We've given all the money to the Lord." In reality, they held it back, which they had the prerogative to do, but they lied about it. And great fear came on upon them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, if you've ever carried someone or done a deadlift of someone or a dummy, it is heavy. It's heavy. And not only did they just carry him out, but they buried him. They had to do some work involved with that. But what we don't see here is anyone saying, "All right, let's get some young men. All right, young men, come here. Hey, stop talking. Young men, get over here." It could have been that the fathers of those young men just said, and that was it. They were apt to take action. They were apt to work here. And we see the same thing happen when the wife dies as well. And the young men came forth and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. A young man needs to be apt for action. He needs to take initiative. He needs to be ready to work. Number four, to the young man I say, don't shirk work. Don't shirk work. Young man, if you shirk work, you are avoiding your greatest opportunity for what you can be known for. You're avoiding the service that God has created you for at this age. Don't shirk work. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." 2 Thessalonians 3:8-12 says this, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." So they've had quite an example here of their work ethic. "Not because we have not power to make ourselves an example unto you as to follow us," or "she have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. It's not a healthy thing for our society to pay people to stay home and not work. It's nurturing an idea among young men that we don't have to work to eat. But let me tell you, it's biblical for you to work, to earn a living, go and bleed a little bit at the grocery store and eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command you and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Young men, let me encourage you. Boys, you listening? Don't let a man work alone. If you see somebody working, find a way to help him. Don't let a man work alone. You know who looks for a way to get out of working? A little boy looks for a way to get out of working. He looks for a way to hide out while the work's done. He comes back. He says, oh, can I help? That's the attitude of a little boy. But a man will feel cheated when he's missed an opportunity to help. That's the difference. That's the difference. The glory of young men is their strength. The best thing you've got to offer in the strong years that God's given you is not your advice. It's not your experience. It's your sweat. The glory of young men is their strength. Embrace hard work. Letter B, the young gun needs to respect wisdom and experience. This kind of bleeds over into the second part of that proverb, the beauty of old men is the gray head. The young man needs to see that beauty. And you understand what I mean by that. I know it sounds a little weird, but the young man needs to, how about this, look past the signs of old age and see the beauty in the gray head. Look past the signs of old age and see the wisdom and the experience that is a wealth of knowledge to tap into. It's okay if Mr. Grayhairs tells you the same stories 100 times. He's still got something to offer. It's okay if Mr. Grayhairs has to tune in his hearing aid just a little bit to hear what you have to say. It's okay if he's not as good at technology as you are. There's life experience and wisdom that is a wonderful thing. That is, if a young man is wise, he will respect that. Now, I've got a Bible example for this. You can turn, or we're going to show it here on the screen, but 2 Samuel 19, very interesting passage of Scripture. It says, and this is David returning to Jerusalem after what's gone on with Absalom and different things, and we see a man named Barzillai here. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogliam and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. How old's that? 80. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And if you go back, I believe it's in chapter 16 or 17, I have to go back and look, but when David was hiding out, Barzillai was one who came and showed his allegiance and brought food and victuals and all of these things so that the men, David and the men that were with him could sustain themselves during this time. And so, but this is the guy, he's old. He's 80 years old. And the king, verse 33, said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me. I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. David apparently still saw something of value in this old man. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and I can discern between good and evil. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? What's he saying? David, my taste buds are even gone. Can I hear anymore the voice of singing men and singing women? My ears aren't as good as they used to be. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? And then he says this, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with my king, and why should the king recompense at me such with a reward? Just, I'll go a little bit further with you, king, but you don't need to treat me so good. I'm old and used up. That's basically what Barzillai is saying. Let thy servant, I pray, turn back again that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant, Chimham, which is this guy that he's pointing to, Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good to thee. So evidently this is a younger man who's got some more years ahead of him that might actually, in Barzillai's estimation, be better help to David. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned into his own place. You say, why are we highlighting this? Because Barzillai realized he's old and maybe didn't have as much to offer. But David understood this. David understood that in his executing the offices of king, he needed Chimhams, he needed the younger men who could execute his designs and his decrees with that strength of young men, but he also needed the aged wisdom of men like Barzillai to give counsel. He understood that for a king, in fact, I believe this kind of has some context in Proverbs. If you back up to verse 28 of Proverbs 20, it says, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. And so if there's a connection between these two, I believe this is a great verse to show that for a king to execute his position correctly, he needs both young men to execute, but also to old men to advise. And he saw that. He saw the value. He looked past the signs of age and saw the value in Barzillai. And he had a great respect for wisdom and for experience. Young men need to have a respect for wisdom and experience. Young men, part of learning to respect wisdom and experience is to learn to say a phrase that's very difficult. I don't know. I don't know. That's a hard one. It seemed hard to say up here. I don't know. It lays yourself vulnerable. I believe it taps into the idea of meekness even that we mentioned this morning. I don't know. Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool of him. If a young man wants to respect wisdom and age in that way, experience, he's going to have to own up to the idea that there are some things I just don't know. Number two, he needs to realize this. This is a mouthful here. Realize there are things you don't know you don't know. And all the gray hairs are chuckling. Yeah. Realize there are things you don't know you don't know. You know, it's so silly. There have been times I've made a decision and I've talked to my dad about what I was going to do and wasn't really asking advice. I was just telling him what I was doing. And a few months or a few weeks or days or whatever the situation, this is several times that something similar to this has happened. I circle back and I've totally changed to the other side of what I said I was going to do because I realized that was a bad idea. Anybody else been there before? All right, thank you. Not alone here. And I'd say, well, that was a bad idea. Then I explained to my dad and he just chuckled and said, I was wondering when you're going to figure that out. I said, Dad, why wouldn't you tell me? He said, well, because you wouldn't have listened at that point. You didn't know what you needed to know. And I couldn't tell you because you weren't ready to respect that wisdom and that experience. Number three, it's important that a young man remembers there are things that you don't see. There are things that you don't see. It's all of us, regardless of age, have blind spots. But the more life experience and biblical wisdom God gives us, the more that we discern, we have more discernment. I want to notice a passage in 2 Kings chapter 6. The font's a little small, so I'll read if you can follow along here. This is the king of Syria speaking, and he says, and he said, go and spy where he is, the prophet, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered the seasoned prophet, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, this young inexperienced man, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of the horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. See, that old experienced prophet had some spiritual wherewithal to see some things that that younger man didn't. And it's important as a young man that we understand that, you know, maybe we don't see the whole picture as we should just yet. So what is the best way? We're talking about respecting wisdom and experience. What's the best way to show respect for wisdom and experience? Well, number four, I think it's this, to seek counsel from gray hairs. To seek counsel. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A young man who has his wits about him to understand that, you know, there's some things I probably don't see here from lack of experience, just my age. There's some things I don't know. I don't know. And so that moves a young man who has some understanding to say, let me reach out to someone who's got greater understanding than I do. I want us to consider this as we think about seeking counsel. Letter A, a young man should avoid seeking counsel from his peers. A young man should avoid seeking counsel from his peers. Typically, the reason being is because your peers tell you what you want to hear. And they don't have any more experience than you do. don't have any more years of experience than you do. Let's notice a passage in 1 Kings 12, 6 through 8 here. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived. So he's doing the right thing initially, isn't he? He's listening to those old men who've got some wisdom. And said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? He spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people to this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. They say, spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. You need to be kind to these people. Show them. There's some old men here that were wise enough to say they don't care what you know until they know that you care about them. So if you want to lead them, you need to love them and show them that. But that's not what Rehoboam wanted to hear, was it? It's not at all what he wanted to hear. So what did he do? But he forsook, verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And what did they say? You just need to get real hard on them. That's what he wanted to hear. And it didn't turn out very good. A young gun, should avoid seeking counsel from his peers. Letter B, a young gun should be the one asking and seeking counsel. He should be the initiator. He should be the initiator. Pastor Jerry Ross, in his book, The Tenets of Biblical Masculinity, said this. He said, Young man, your fathers know more than you in most every area of importance in life. Your grandfather has forgotten more than you presently know. Your pastor has special spiritual insight and wisdom. Older godly men in your church can provide you with a great multitude of counselors. Wise is the young man who engages regularly with older men. I believe that's a good statement. You know, and there may come a day here at Foundation Baptist Church where we can have a youth group and a youth program and do youth activities as the Lord might grow our church. But I never want to remove the young men from the older men at Foundation Baptist Church. I think it would be doing both a disservice. They need to be together. A young gun should be the one asking and seeking that counsel. Letter C, a young gun should seek counsel for big decisions. Proverbs 24:6 says this, For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 12:15 says this, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Well, how is it? It says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." And the young men look at the older, and if they're not careful, we'll devalue that. And the older men look at the younger, and if they don't see what they're looking for, we'll devalue that. How is it that, maybe we can ask this question, how is it that a young man can prove his value to the older generation? And I believe it's just a recap of what we've seen here tonight. A young gun can prove his value to the gray hairs by embracing hard work and respecting wisdom and experience. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. I don't know a man in America who couldn't do well in whatever field of work it was if he would work hard and respect wisdom and experience. Let's sharpen that just a little bit. What do we mean here by embracing hard work and proving himself this way? Well, I want to highlight this. A young gun should prove his value with his work and not with his words. You will not garner respect among men by tooting your own horn. Proverbs 25:14 says this, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." And a man with some depth will see straight through that. Proverbs 27:2 says this, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips." If you, as a young man, put in the hard work and respect, wisdom, and experience, and an older man sees that and he says, "Man, this young man has some value. He's a hard worker. He's quickly gaining wisdom and experience because he's listening and he's learning." And then that older man goes over here to this older man and says, "Look out for that guy. He's good. He's good at what he does. He's of value." Do you see how that is? That's the way up. That's the way to gain wisdom and experience. I'd say number two, a young gun can gain the confidence of the gray hairs by putting their advice to practice. By putting their advice to practice. Proverbs 1, the first part here of verse 4 and 5 says this, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." Does a young man naturally have knowledge and discretion? Nope. A wise man will do what? Will hear, will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall what? Attain unto wise counsels. This is one of my favorite quotes that I believe it was Brother Jason Gaddis. As I was in Bible college, he was preaching through the book of Proverbs, and he started out and he got with this, and he got to this verse, and he said this, "You can have wisdom beyond your years if you're all ears." Now, that's a pretty good way to put it. You can have wisdom beyond your years if you're all ears. That's pretty good. It brings this thought to mind. Number three, humility expedites the proving ground. Humility expedites the proving ground. Why is it so stereotypical that an older gentleman would look down or speak of this generation and say, "Oh, these young whippersnappers think they know what they're doing"? Why? Because all these young whippersnappers, you typically think they know what they're doing, and they don't. That's the tendency of the young man, to be somewhat prideful and arrogant of these things. But Psalm 75 says this, Psalm 75, 4 through 7, "I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn, lift not up your horn on high," speaking of pridefulness, "speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge." There it is. "He putteth one down one and setteth up another." Jesus said it this way, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The quickest way to prove yourself as a young man is to be humble and learn and work hard. So Solomon here, he's getting at the heart of this idea. It leads us to this principle of, I believe, of mentorship. This idea of an older man helping a younger man as he makes his way in life. The strength of the young man, restrained and shaped by the wisdom of a gray-haired gentleman, working together for God's purpose. That's the way it's designed. Now, just have a few more things here. I want to speak to the gray hairs tonight. Number two, to the gray hairs. I realize the time, but I believe we need to get through this. In Homer's Odyssey, when Odyssey left for the Trojan War, he had a very good friend, and when he left for the Trojan War, I don't know if you've read the translation of the Odyssey, the Greek tale, but when he left for war, his son was not of age yet, and he left one of his dearest and closest friends in charge of raising his son. You know what his son's name, or his friend's name was? Mentor. That's where we get the term mentor or mentorship from. And so we get the idea from Solomon speaking here, but also from the very word mentor and mentorship. We get the idea here that the task of mentorship, it begins at home. Man, it begins at home. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. This responsibility, fathers, that you and I have as men of a little bit more age is to mentor and to raise our children, our sons, to be men. It begins at home. Mentoring and training the next generation begins first with making sure you are following Christ. Is one of the models of mentorship is what we call the cloning model, teaching someone to your own philosophy of life and so on and so forth to make someone follow in your footsteps. But you better make sure that you're following in the footsteps of Christ. So what do we need to do? We need to seek biblical wisdom. I want us to understand something, that gray hair does not guarantee wisdom. All it does is shows the opportunity that been to exercise wisdom. Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So there's a responsibility there to the older gentleman to make sure that the wisdom God's given you is found in the way of righteousness. We're going to read it for sake of time, but in Hebrews 5, it says, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the principles and the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. So what am I saying here is age doesn't necessarily equal wisdom. It just equals experience and ability to exercise that wisdom. Just as a young gun is to prove his value to the older generation by his work ethic and teachability, the gray hairs show their value by their biblical wisdom. Just a couple of thoughts here and we'll be finished. Letter C, still waters run deep. Still waters run deep. I want to draw your attention back again to Proverbs 20, verse 5, gentlemen. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. What does that mean? It means that it's just because you have something that person desperately needs to know, it doesn't mean that that is the time or the place to share that. We can say it this way. Don't feel the need, number one, to tell everything you know right away. Leave room for consequences. Leave room for consequences. I heard one preacher give an illustration concerning this idea one time, and he said, The men today, they look out and they say, I can't believe the generation is turning out the way they're turning out. And then he says, but I sure don't want my kids to have it as bad as I did. But we've got to understand that we're a product of what we've had to experience in life. We need some consequences. We need some learning experiences. And Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. Here's a verse, I believe, that shows the importance of consequences for that young man. Proverbs 29:5, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I understand that this is very much in the child-rearing idea of consequences here. But consider the previous one. The fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Maybe there's a someone you're trying to invest in at work or at church or wherever it be. And it may be that you need to allow them to make some decisions and then come back on the reverse side and say, now how did we do? What could we do different there? It's the idea of giving time for consequences. Don't always rush in and tell everything that you know. And this is sad but true. Number two, not every young gun is willing to learn what you have to teach. Proverbs 13:1 says this, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. There are some who will not receive it. And it's a sad reality. So what do? Invest in the young guns who seek your investment, or maybe say, who value your investment. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A young man of understanding will receive counsel, will initiate that, will ask. But if it's not the right moment, it's not the right time, it's not the right young man, you'll be like Proverbs 26:17. You'll be like the man walking by and taking a dog by the ears. Doesn't end well. Doesn't end well. Lastly, just an observation here from the scriptures. Investing in the next generation is expensive. It's expensive. It's expensive in time and a commitment. 2 Timothy 2:2, in these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 through 11, and we'll be done. Paul says this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. It takes some investment. The glory of young men is their strength. And the beauty of old men is their gray head. I hope and pray that as God matures us as a church, as we grow, and looking forward to our first year anniversary this year in September, but that God will consistently give us a mixture of men with wisdom and young men with strength, so we can serve and work together for God's purpose here at Foundation Baptist Church. The glory of young men is their strength. Beauty of old men.